Menachos Pergud Mishnah Ches 10:8. So now the Mishnah turns to the exceptions to the rule that one must not harvest grains until after he harvests the barley for the Minchas HaOmer. The source of the restriction, like I said before, is that the Pasuk refers to the Minchas Omer, the barley that's harvested for that Omer, as Rashis Katsirchem, the first of your harvest. And therefore, other things shouldn't be harvested before the barley harvested for the Minchas Omer. Nevertheless, that same Pasuk also says that Kisavola Arts, when you come to land, it says Ukatsartam es Katsira, and you harvest its harvest. Now that repetitive language tips off Chazal to the fact that there are some harvest things which are permitted for hediot, for non Beis Hamikdash purposes, which is permitted. That harvesting of grain is permitted. So our mission here is going to elaborate on when it is permitted. And the basic gist of it is going to be in our Mishnah here, is that barley, which anyways wouldn't be of the standard that would meet the requirements of the Minchas Omer, it's not eligible to be the barley for the Omer, and therefore, lechachil anyways, and therefore, it's permitted to be harvested. In the next Mishnah, we'll see there are other leniencies, because it says, Katsirchem, your harvest, if you're harvesting not for yourself, but for some other reason, like a mitzvah, it's also going to be permitted. So we'll see that all later on. Just keep in mind that the first ripening grain in Israel normally is the barley, and barley is the specific type of grain used in the Omer. But the leniencies of our Mishnah are going to apply to, let's say, wheat growing in the kind of fields that you could harvest barley prior to the harvesting of the barley for the Omer. What's very important to understand on our Mishnah here is that while there are some leniencies regarding what you can harvest prior to the bringing of the Minchas Omer, there's no leniency regarding the permissibility of eating chadash, this year's crop, prior to the waving, the offering of the Omer. Okay? So while there's some leniencies regarding the actual harvesting, there's no leniencies regarding the eating of the chadash prior to the Omer. Okay, that said, so the Mishnah says inside, Kotsrim beis hashalachim sheba amakim. When it's permitted to harvest the grain that's growing inside a beis hashalachim, an irrigated valley, sheba amakim, that's in the emek, in the valley. The idea here is that irrigated fields need to have supplemental water, and therefore that means that their basic, you know, growing conditions are substandard. They need supplementation by, you know, human intervention, and therefore the grain's not that great, and therefore that's not the choice grain to be used for bringing for your korban omer. Therefore, that grain is permitted to be harvested early because it wouldn't be used for the omer anyways under normal conditions. Now, the girsus I have here is, like I said, you need to have both conditions: that it's a beis hashalachim, it's an irrigated field by human intervention, not by rainwater, and also it's an emek, it's in the valley. Okay, you need both conditions. There are many other versions of the Mishnah that Rishonim had, where it's either or. If it's either a beis hashalachim, it's an irrigated field, or it's in the emek, in a valley. Okay, so therefore many Rishonim learn like that and explain that way. But our Mishnah has them both as you need to have both conditions, meaning I would not be permitted to harvest in a valley that isn't irrigated, or an irrigated field that isn't a valley. Of lo godshin, the Mishnah says, while it's permitted to actually like reap, you know, cut it, detach it from the ground, it is not permitted to stack it into a pile. So you've probably seen in fields, in pictures, not so much nowadays, because now it's done a little differently with, like, you know, balers and, you know, combine harvesting and so on. But, you know, in more primitive ways of harvesting wheat, what you do is you would sever the wheat from the ground. That's called katsira. And like, for example, in Shavuos is Chag HaKatsira, the holiday of the harvesting, the cutting from the ground. But then you would leave the grain out in the sun throughout the whole summer to dry out. You want it to be like kind of bone dry so it can go into storage properly and have like a long shelf life in storage. So you see it really bone dry. So you leave it out in the sun to dry throughout the whole summer. Now the way you do that is not letting it lie flat on the ground, because then like the vermin will get to it. You know, you don't want that to happen. You don't want the ants and the you know, mice have easy access to your grain. So they would stack it. They would kind of like pile it up. You've seen the pictures. Typically, it's like conical, kind of like looks like a teepee, sort of, so that the grain is not on the ground. That would have, you know, let it dry out in the sun without having so much access, you know, to the voles and the moles and the rats and stuff like that. Okay, that's the idea. So our mission here is saying that while you're allowed to do the katsira, the detaching of the ground, the reaping of the grain prior, this kind of grain, prior to the reaping of the barley that's going to be used in the Minchas Omer, you can't yet do gadisha, you can't stack it. Okay, you have to leave it kind of unstacked The reason why is this is just simply like a reminder, okay? Because you're not harvesting in the normal way, you're leaving it unstacked, that will remind you that while it's permitted to reap this grain to detach from the ground to start the harvesting process, it's not permitted to eat it. You can't eat it until after the omer is brought. Okay, so that heker, that like sort of distinguishing feature, keeps it in mind so people shouldn't accidentally eat the grain before the omer is brought prematurely and against the halacha. That's the idea. So that's a din d'rabbanan. You may sometimes reap, but you can't stack. You could do katsira, but you can't do gadisha. Now, if you ask the question, well, wait a second. Once, anyways, we're kind of making a din d'rabbanan not to do it properly. Why don't we just say d'rabbanan, don't reap it, so you won't come to eat it? The answer is, if you're working in a base of shlachim, an irrigated field, and you leave the grain longer than it should be, it can get ruined. It can get, like, you know, I don't know what the word is, but it, you know, can get, it has to detach from the ground, or it'll become, I'll call it overripe. I don't know the correct term for it. So while the rabbis recognize we don't want you to have a hesed mammon, you shouldn't have to lose money over this, so you can detach from the ground, we want to make sure you don't eat it yet because it's still chadash and restricted. Says the Mishnah further, Anshe Yericho Kotzern Beratzon Chachamim, the men of Jericho, these are the Jewish farmers in Jericho, in Yericho, Kotzern Beratzon Chachamim, they harvested, meaning they detached it from the ground, they did the reaping, with the full consent, you know, support of the rabbis. However, they also did gadisha. They stacked the grain they harvested. Now, Yericho is indeed an Amek, a valley, and they had irrigated fields, and Jericho's, you know, near the Jordan there, so they would be able to get water and have it was this base of shlachan mishabal makim. So they were allowed to do the katsira, but the gadisha was forbidden midur abundant, but they did it anyways. That's our Mishnah point here. And nevertheless, v'lo michu beyadam chachamim. Although they did something wrong in Yericho, the rabbis never stepped in and made like a proper, you know, macha, a proper objection to this, which is interesting. The reason why I give it is because it was only a din d'rabbanan for someone who's sort of a little far out. Like people aren't necessarily going to, just because they harvested early, they don't like to actually eat it. They're just like sort of the rabbis said it's better and they want people not to stack it. But people did stack it. They didn't get involved to make a big fight out of it. That's how the Mishnah is to be learned by most. Now, says the Mishnah further, like a new paragraph. Kotzer l'shachas. If you're reaping, you're detaching the grain from the ground, but l'shachas. Shachas means like hashchasa is destruction, for a destructive purpose. As opposed to harvesting for your human consumption, you're detaching it for some other reason. And the reason given here, first of all, is u'ma'achil l'behema. You're cutting it so that you can feed it to animals. It's animal fodder. So if it's for animals, not for people, and it's hashchasa, meaning it's destructive, you're not kind of harvesting the grain in its prime and it's like great to eat and then just feed it to your animals, that wouldn't be okay anyways, because the same, it's food, right? If you just same way you can, you know, feed your dog scraps on the table and you can feed the horse, you know, the carrot and the sugar cubes and the oats, that's human food. This is hashchas, it's shachas, that is, it's unripe grain, unripe, you know, like wheatgrass with the grain just starting to grow in it, but yet it's not really ready for human consumption, so you cut it for the animals. It's not considered to be a katsira harvest because on human consumption yet, and therefore that's permitted. Okay, it's permitted even though you haven't yet harvested the barley for the minchas ha'omer. The question is, when is it still considered to be shachas? So says the Mishnah Amar Yehuda, emasai, what's the window of leniency? Bazman shehischil, from when it starts to grow, ad shlo heviu shlish, up until it's reached a third of its growth. I'll define that more in a second. Rabbi Shimon Omer, af yiktor of yachil, af mishahevi shlish. Rabbi Shimon says, even after it's hevia shlish, it's grown a full third, it's past that amount, if it's for animal food, that's not considered to be a harvest, not a katsira, a human harvest, and therefore it's permitted. The only restriction is harvesting for human consumption, says Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, after a third of the way there, it's already a problem, because it could be eaten by human beings as food in a pressing situation. So what we're talking about here is not like a third of the growth of the wheatgrass. Wheatgrass is not for human consumption. We're talking about the wheatgrass has now grown an ear of grain. You see like the wheat kernels there growing, but there are like let's just for argument's sake say that it takes, you know, let's say it takes 3 weeks from when the grains first appear to when they're, you know, fully ripe. It's actually more than 3 weeks, but it's less than 3 months. I want the number three here, but whatever. Okay, 3 weeks or 3 months, whatever. Whatever the real time is, doesn't matter. So we're saying if it takes 3 weeks from when it first appears to when it's fully ripe, so in the first week that they're showing and ripening and growing, getting, that's when they're allowed to be cut and fed to animals. Past that, it's still sort of human food, and therefore Behuda says you wouldn't be able to harvest it anymore. Okay? Now, worth noting, that's not what the Bartanura says. although this measurement of growing a shlish, a third of the way to be edible, like appears 1,001 times in Shas in so many contexts, and it's always understood kind of how I described it, here the Bar Tanura follows the Rambam, the Perish Mishnayos, for whatever reason, and he understands it's not the first third, but really like up until the last third. His lashon is ad shlo hevia shlish acharon shel gemar bishula, until it hasn't, you can harvest it for your animals until the final trimester, if you will, of its ripening. So that means if it takes 3 weeks to ripen from when it first appears as little kernels to when it's fully ripe, let's say, so you could, in the second week, you still could harvest it. Okay, the second trimester, you still could harvest it and feed it to animals, but not to people, according to the Bar Tanura. But halacha wouldn't be like him. Halacha would be like how the Rambam and the Mora and the Yad, which is that you have the first third, and that's all.